What's up, Gracie's podcast listeners? This is Kara Jones.
Hey, what's up? This is Gracie. Of course. So I'm here, obviously, with Kara. We are going to talk about...
We have a very exciting topic that I love, all things science and strength. So Gracie has been coaching me for a year and a half, and the approach she takes to building strength, building physiques in her clients is different than I've ever seen. So you don't want to miss this because she's going to go into what she does week to week with her clients to make sure they are actually progressing in their lifts and not remaining stagnant. So there's a lot of science behind it, and it's just great what she does. So I wanted to make a whole podcast to talk about it.
Yeah, and that's my favorite topic, training. So progressive overload, you can do it differently. You add reps, obviously, you add weight, you add tempo, you add time under tension. So you can do it in any of those forms. And
okay, so the four are adding weight,
yep.
Adding reps,
yep.
Changing your tempo.
So tempo being how much time under tension. So explain tempo.
The most important part of the tempo, correct me if I'm wrong, is the eccentric part. So when you're doing a squat, if you take 10 sankets to go down, that's going to be a lot harder than taking one sanket. So making sure the eccentric and concentric, the going down and going up phase, is supporting your goals.
Yes. And so time, that would be time under tension. So how much time is your muscle under strain?
Okay. And then, so those are three. Is there a fourth one?
Yes. Well, just... more time under tension. So that might mean holding in the contraction.
Oh, okay. So like a pause squat.
A pause, yes. Yes. So four different main ways to do it. Or you can add sets. I mean, there are a lot more ways, but those are the four ones that we focus on. And everybody is different. So week to week, you do want to either one of those four. You know, so for y'all, you'll say...
So let's give an example scenario. So say I write in my tracker, I am programmed to do three sets of squats. So, you know, of course I'm going to do my first couple warm-up sets and then I'm going to do three working sets. And I am programmed 10 to 12 reps and at, let's say, 95 pounds. So if I hit, and then a 3-second eccentric, if I hit 95 pounds for 12 reps three times in a row, what are you going to do the next week?
So just... because we're talking about it. So, like, if that were the case, if you were programmed 95 pounds and you hit 12 reps that first set, like, my mind goes to, okay, how many more could I have done?
Yeah.
In that first set. If I could have done two more reps with full control, full tempo, I would be going up in weight that sentence.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's your first sign. I'm just kind of talking through it. That would be the first sign. If you couldn't have done two more reps with perfect tempo, then yes, let's say at 12 again for that second set. Same question after that second set. If you could go up, perfect. If you can't, so let's just say you don't and you stay with 12, then for me, what I would program y'all is, because that's me looking at that data-based thinking that y'all asked yourself that question, right?
Yeah.
So I would either increase the tempo and say either match your reps, or even if it exceeds the tempo, exceeds the rep range, right?
Yeah.
That would be what I would say. Because ultimately we want to, before I ever go up in weight, depending on the lifter, I'm going to get you to hit 15 reps. Because that means I know that you are strong enough to hit 15 reps at this tempo, controlled, 15 times. Does that make sense? But that... does that make sense?
Yeah, so this has really helped me as a client because it's all data backed. Gracie has all the data. So she knows, okay, if Kara can hit 95 3-second eccentric 12 times, she can hit 105 10 to 12 times. So then she would write in my plan, use 105 pounds. So the next week, let's say I do 105 and I hit it 10 times. And then I do the second set, I get 105 and I hit it 9 times. The third set, I do 105, I hit it 8 times. Maybe I wasn't quite ready to go up to 105, and so she would see that with the next week you would go down to 100.
Yeah, so I would work you up to hold in your main lifts to 12 to 15 reps.
Yeah.
And before we increase weight, but so yeah, if you did that, I would increase the weight to 100, let's just say.
Yeah.
From 95 to 100. And lower the tempo, because that's the reality. So the reality of tempo is you'll start with like a 1 second eccentric, like just slow enough to stay in control, no pause. Concentric is the same thing. There's no second actually, and then 1 second between each set, and even that can go down to zero, right? Where you're just constantly, you're not taking that 1 second between each rep. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So from a client standpoint and a overthinker, which I am a former overthinker, this leaves me with all of my energy to give to my lifts, because I'm not there in the gym thinking, okay, should I do this? Should I, can I do this? I already know Gracie has all the data. She has all the science. It's just the science of muscle building.
Right.
And so then I can use that energy for my lifts. And another thing I really like, switching things up with the tempo, it keeps me very present in my lifts, because I'm no longer just going through the motions.
Right.
I'm doing things with intention. So I think the biggest thing I've learned from Gracie is lifting with intention and that timing, you know, because it's so much harder to do, let's say, shoulder lateral raises, for example. It is so much harder if she programs me shoulder lateral raises with a 1 second pause at the top and 3 second negatives. Those are very hard.
Right.
So it just keeps me present and it keeps things interesting. And that's one thing I really love about her coaching approach, because no other coach has ever been that. It's almost like, I can't think of a better adjective, but no other coach has been anywhere near that obsessive over the weights, the tempo, and everything. But it's just the science.
Well, it just comes down to the reality of it's not about pushing more weight. At the end of the day, it's just about getting more time under tension in each muscle group. So you can lift, you can stay with 95 pounds back squat for the next 6 months and play with tempo and reps and make the gains that you need to make. And we're just using squats as an example, but that applies to hip thrusts as well. Like, so more weight doesn't necessarily mean more muscle. Does that make sense? If you're not in control of that weight, then it doesn't matter how much you can lift. You're not going to build muscle efficiently at that point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the intention is for that reason. Like, there's no... So that just keeps you safe. It keeps you safe from hurting yourself. It keeps you safe, which ultimately, that if you cannot hurt yourself, you just can work out every day for the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you... So progressive overload, yeah, that's very, very important. And there's so many ways you can do it. Just being able to understand that it always is not... This is the mindset I talk to every client about, especially my advanced lifters. You know, it's not always about more weight. You know, like, you can... Even with lateral raises, like, you could stay with 10-pound lateral raises and just switch up the tempo and reps. And even going from tempo, different tempos throughout the set, that's going to give you more muscle mass. Like, you're going to gain more muscle with that than increasing the weight and half-assing the reps.
Yeah, and it's a game changer. And I will say, you know, having a life coach in life is a luxury, but it's a luxury that I'm willing to prioritize that before anything else. You know, it's so much, it pays for itself. The ROI, the return on investment of paying for a life coach is 1,000%. Meaning, if I put $100, well, let's not use $100. Let's say I put $1,000 into coaching for 6 months or something like that, I'm going to therefore make an extra $5,000 because of the time, energy, savings, and just an all over. So, and, you know, life is not about money, but that is the number one thing that stops people from hiring a life coach. That's the reality of it.
Right.
And just getting that awareness out that you will make your money back in the quality of your life, the time you have with your significant other, with whoever you know, the way to just...
Right.
I feel like I keep rambling on about the energy it saves. And even Gracie is not her own coach. She pays another coach to do this for her.
To save energy.
Yeah.
Literally. And and that goes to a whole nother podcast you could probably do, just about investing in yourself. You know, all you're doing when you invest in yourself, whether it be hiring a coach or using Instacart, or it's, you're buying time, period. Because time is the only thing that you cannot control. You can always make more money, right? You can always sleep more and have more energy. Time is it. It is just is what it is. You got to make the best of it. So,
yeah. And if you're going to invest in anything in life, invest in your mental health, in yourself, in your mental and physical health.
Yeah. Period. Like,
and you know what? Maybe invest in a golden doodle because they're amazing. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not really kidding.
Well, and the thing is, you invest in what makes you happy.
Yes.
And people always think that, like they always say, competing is such a expensive hobby. Well, so is golf. So is hunting. So is fishing. Every hobby is going to be expensive, and you're going to spend money. So be sure to spend it where what makes you happy.
Yeah. I remember why I bring up the golden doodle is when I got my golden doodle, she cost $1,000, and I got some negativity from some people on, oh my gosh, you spent $2,000 on a dog when you could, you know, rescue a dog. And I have been through a rescue dog horror story that ended in a lot of blood and something. Yeah, I don't need to get into details about that. But if I want to buy a designer dog, because that makes me happy, I'm going to do that. You know, I don't have designer purses or things like that. So, you know, I think it really bothered me at the time when I wasn't very mentally strong, when people were kind of throwing shade at me for not rescuing and buying a dog. But I'm totally fine with it now because I know where my values are and I know the happiness my dogs bring me.
Yeah.
And we've really pivoted.
Pivoted.
Okay. Any chance I get to talk about how much I love my dogs, I will just throw it into anything. Just, I'm such a dog mom.
It just aligns with your values and what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Period. So, yeah.
But back to strength training.
Same thing applies to strength training. When it comes to, because ultimately my goal is to, build your muscle mass and build your body. But it's also, I got to keep you happy. So, like, one of the hardest things in life, I think, for a coach for sure, is to break the mindset of a runner. And that goes back to, I have to make sure that they are happy. A runner is not going to strength train and just 100% go from running every day and loving running and endorphins to only strength training because that's what's ultimately going to give her the body that she wants, right? I have to blend that. And they both counteract each other. So it's really hard to blend, but it is blendable. But I have to keep you happy. Like, I got to, like, for you with your dance, I have to make sure the dance is programmed into your program because that's what makes you happy. And if you're not happy, you're not going to go into your gym sessions, your strength training sessions, or even with your macros and be happy.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? So if the number one thing to take away from this podcast is, you, of course, understanding more about strength training, but understand that there are so many different approaches that you have to figure out, or you have to hire somebody to help you figure out what movement every day you can sustain and do for the rest of your life, because that's the movement that makes you happy, and also you reach your goals, right? So we're trying to blend what makes you happy and what you need to do to reach that physique that's in your head.
Yeah. So let's talk about a struggle I had when I first hired you as a coach.
Okay.
So Gracie would program me 4 or 5 days a week, I forget. And I would always add extra things after. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to add a drop set here. I'm going to add some sled pushes. I'm going to add ab work. I'm just going to write everything I add at the bottom. And then she said something that was a light bulb. I don't know if you remember what you said.
No.
You said, if you have the energy to do that, if you have the energy to do that drop set after your workout, you aren't pushing hard enough in where it matters.
Right. Yeah, and so the way that you structure, or the way that a program should be structured, and actually on the cruise, I was talking to one little girl, she had just got her new training from her coach, and the first set said pre-exhaust muscles, and I know that's a big thing, and I probably need to talk about that more, but the first thing that you do should not be pre-exhaust anything. That doesn't even make any logical sense, you know? It should be warm up and activate for sure. And so because that first exercise that you do outside of mobility and warming up should be your hardest lift, followed by your second hardest lift, followed by your third hardest lift,
yeah.
and you go so on down the line. And not even just the hardest, but the most efficient. Like, what is... So, if you're doing, like, deadlifts, those are going to be first. Because they require the most muscle, the most energy. So, why would you ever do that last? You know what I mean? So, being able to have... That concept of energy only applies when your whole workout is based on energy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, if you're supersetting everything and you're pre-exhausting things up at the top, then it don't really matter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So... with you and the way we do things, just the efficiency of, you know, ultimately my goal is to have you and all my clients in and out of the gym between 3 to 4 days, max 60 minutes, because ultimately if you're looking at it from a data purposes, the amount of time that your muscle can be under tension is 60 minutes like max before it starts to break down tissue, and that's not what we're trying to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Before it starts to become inefficient. So 60 minutes is a good place to think if you are out there and you're writing your own workouts. 60 minutes of good, efficient lifts is enough.
4 days a week.
4 days a week. And even 3 days a week. Most of my clients are on 3-day workout splits because they have jobs and life and moms,
yeah.
and all the things. And that goes back to everything being efficient. If you can align your nutrition and your daily habits, talking steps and sleep and all the things, with efficient workouts, you can make two efficient workouts a week. One upper body, one lower body, and see amazing progress. And so when you are, you know, at that next season of your journey, then yeah, we can add another day and it won't be as hard as it is right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they need to just go to the gym 5 days a week and that's how it has to be. It doesn't have to be like that at all. In fact, you can just not at all work out and just look at nutrition and just focus on steps and all these things, and then add workouts. Workouts are like, if you ask me, I would say 5% of where your progress is going to be in workouts. Does that make sense? For the majority of the people, there will become a time in everybody's journey where that becomes more important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that has more. But until you get to that place, people overthink training, and they think that they have to train when most of the people just need to just start with their nutrition, and they need to start with just the basic movement. You can do body weight stuff, you know what I mean? And then next month you can add one extra day. So progressive overload applies to all parts of life, and that the whole journey you can apply progressive overload. So a lot of clients that come to me, we only start with nutrition, and that's it. And then maybe week two, we're going to add steps. So that's a form of progressive overload. Progressive overload is just getting 1% better every week in some way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then the next week, let's just say week three or week four, we're going to add water. So now we're doing nutrition. We're walking, watching our steps, and we're adding our water. We're not even working out.
Yeah.
So progressive overload is just a mindset rather than a mindset just in the gym.
Yeah, and that's one thing that makes you a great coach is you only coach women, but we're all so different, and you're truly customized. It kind of annoys me right now when some coaches say you have a custom training plan, custom nutrition, but it's, okay, I'm not saying they're lying, but it's really, it's the same thing that everyone else is getting, and so it's
right.
It's not... You know, because I'm not going to be the client that if I hired Gracie, she goes, okay, for week one, we're just going to do nutrition. No, that doesn't make sense at all.
Right.
You know, so make sure when someone says custom that you know what that means and you know what you're getting. Because I never really understood what customized meant until I had Gracie as a coach. And it's truly customized.
Yeah. And it's really just because I've learned that you can't. Every woman is so different. I mean, the way, you know... if I had an ideal client, is just the normal woman. And even a bikini competitor that wants to live a normal life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because that is the woman that I help, yeah, it has to be customized. Because they're either going to be married or they're not going to be married. They're going to have kids or they're not going to have kids. Like, so, you know, somebody that has two kids, I can't program them the same thing that I program you who doesn't have any kids. Even though y'all's goals are the same.
Yeah.
It don't matter. She can't do... you know, 5 lifts a week, and that's okay, but she can still reach that goal of her body. make it efficient. Yeah. When it comes down to that, efficiency. If everything is in alignment, no matter who, how many kids you got, no matter how much you work, it doesn't matter. You can still reach whatever goal that you have.
So progressive overload is a lot to think about, and it's a big task to put on yourself. Yeah. And so that's why I say coaching is a luxury, but it's such a luxury that the ROI on it is tenfold. So to wrap up this podcast, the four ways of progressive overloading. One is increase the weight. Two, increase the reps. Three is change the tempo. Or four, add in something extra, as in a pause at the bottom, or just do an advanced tension or advanced timing technique.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the thing for it. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be back for another episode of Gracie and Kara.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. So that's it for today. As always, thank you so much for being here. It means so much to me that you even want to listen to my stories. If you felt this episode spoke to you in any way, please share it with your friends, share it with your family. If you share it on social media, please tag me on Instagram, GracieRecord_fit, on Facebook, Gracie Record. I love to just connect with you and just watch your journey and learn from you. If you're interested in my one-on-one whole body health coaching program, the application is below. You can fill it out, schedule a free call with me, and we can just figure out your next step together. And yeah, I cannot wait to talk to you. I cannot wait to meet you. I cannot wait to hopefully connect with each and every one of y'all, because you are the reason that I'm here. So I'm so thankful for y'all.